Time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We could leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies, feline, with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on a guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
So, Sean, I go to you early because I'm trying to figure out how to approach it. Do we use segment one for superlatives? Because what happened this morning, of course I was part of it, it was one of the major discussions. It's probably one of the reasons why players, coaches, teams in general are like, you guys in radio, media, TV just flat out suck. Because the Texans internally are going to think to themselves, we did something that's never been done. We won a road playoff game in dominating fashion. Now I can get into some of the context, 7-6 going to the fourth quarter. But when you win a game 30-6, you feel great. Your season continues. You punish the Steelers. Aziz Ashayer feels so good about himself. He mimics Mike Tomlin as he's walking back into the locker room. We know Mike Tomlin did the beating of the chest and then blow a kiss when they beat the Ravens. Aziz is on camera doing that as he's going back to the locker room. So that defense puts on a legendary performance. It's a performance that the entire football world took notice of. That's the lead as far as this game. What the Texans defense did, you have guys on the team talking about how they're the best defense and all the things that come from winning a playoff game. You feel great. You showed out. And yet, the over, maybe in some ways, overbearing topic of conversation is the play of the quarterback. So, I ask you, Sean, someone who texted a group chat and said, I'm ready to do this because they just fumbled a flea flicker. We have a group chat for our CFB Dynasty, and Sean had a game against another member of the Dynasty, and he said, you know what, I'm ready to play now. The Texans just fumbled a flicker. That was some of the attitude. And, in a lot of group chats, I imagine it was like, CJ this, CJ that, what are we doing? He sucks, Davis Mills, just across the city. And I was in a group chat, multiple that took part in that type of a conversation. And yet, the defense was a pack of whatever terminology you want to use, wolves, dogs, sharks. I saw a lot of them being compared to animals on the timeline because of what they did to torture the Steelers and Aaron Rodgers all night long. So, superlatives. Sean's got to answer the phone. Although we have interns who may be able to do that now.
Can they answer the phone?
Yeah, at least the one this morning was able to. We'll see. Sean, superlatives, or we get into what drives talk shows, the quarterback. How do we start?
I think superlatives.
I would like to give credit first.
Because ultimately, C.J. Stroud, it didn't matter.
Yes.
It did not. It didn't matter.
His play kept the game closer than it should have been.
Yeah.
But in the end, the Texans' defense was able to overcome both quarterbacks to win that game going away. The Texans' defense was so good, they not only broke the will of the Steelers' offense, they broke the will of the Steelers' defense. Because once Sheldon Rankins picks up that ball and runs into the end zone, the game's over. Everyone knows the game is over at that point. And then the Steelers have to punt back to the Texans with about, 7-8 minutes ago. Maybe it was more, maybe it was 9. I forgot how it was. But then the Steelers' defense was done at that point. The Texans had good success running the football. But once it was 17-6 and they had to punt the ball back to the Texans, the Steelers' defense knew, all right, we're not winning this football game. And they broke down. The Texans were able to kill clock. And then, of course, Woody Marks ran it in for a touchdown. That's how good they were. They broke two units. Maybe the special teams unit was broken too. We just didn't get a chance to see them. At least the kicking part of the special teams unit. That's how dominant that performance was. From everything from the sacks to the pressure to coverage.
Was there a single time where you thought that the Pittsburgh offense might go on like a sustained like drive of like there are a couple, you know, chunk plays where,
you know, I don't think it would have been sustained, but DK Metcalf catches that pass that he dropped. Who knows how far he runs after that? But no, not at any point.
There's no point.
They started great. Yeah. They had a great run, and then they did the quick to, I don't know if it was a screen or just quick game to DK Metcalf, who I think they gained first downs in their first two plays.
Yeah.
10-yard plus chunks. And then after that, it was we didn't see a lot of that going forward.
I was going to amend that to like from the second quarter, like once the game kind of gets flowing, it's like, as long as they don't give them short fields. And even then,
got a short field, yeah. And it didn't matter.
Yeah, but it's like, there's really, like, this is purely just academic on the defensive side of the ball. Especially because Rodgers, I guess it was good because it kept him in the game. But he basically had, like, a 3-yard bubble around him. Where it's like, if anyone comes within 3 yards of me, I'm just throwing it out of bounds or throwing it at someone's feet. Like, I'm not getting tackled in this game was his personal game plan was do not tackle me. Do not touch me, actually.
And as far as the Steelers game plan, it certainly played into what the Texans wanted to do because they a lot of spread formations for 4 guys out or sometimes 5 guys out in a pattern. And because Rodgers doesn't like playing from under center, you can't really get to your power run game even if you had one. Because early in the game, part of those early chunks was a run from under center right at the Texans. And was it Warren? Wasn't running back at the time. Nice yardage. Maybe his longest run of the night came on the first drive of the game. Gainwell had one later. But because of the way Rodgers wants to play, he wants to be a shotgun. He doesn't want to be under center. He certainly doesn't want to turn his back to the defense. It mitigates maybe the one way you could actually attack the Texans by running it right at them. Because if you're a team who plays the Texans and are fearful of what they do, what do? You want to make them earn the right to rush the passer. You want to continue to run the football right at them and see if you can gain 4 or 5 yards and keep yourselves in an advantageous situation. Instead, because Rodgers is always in the gun, the Texans ate up any of those zone runs from out of shotgun. And then it was like 3rd and 10, 3rd and 11 the entire game. And what does that mean? It means Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson can hunt. And then if it's not them, you'll throw a Derek Barnett out there who'll get after you. So, and the OC is Arthur Smith of all people. Do we remember what Arthur Smith was like as the OC for the Titans? Of course, he had Derek Henry, but he turned Ryan Tannehill into a guy who could make an AFC title game. You know why? They're under center. They ran the ball and they threw in breakers to AJ Brown. That's the way if you're going to get after the Texans, you beat them. So. And that'll lead into a conversation about what the Patriots will want to do. They'll certainly run from under center, but that's a different time. As far as today is concerned, thank you, Steelers. You did everything the Texans would want you to do. You turned it into a game where you had to throw the football on long down and distances and allowed the Texans to get after you in the best way they know how. Rushing 4, not doing many exotic things, maybe trying to isolate. When they load like 3 guys on one side because they want to isolate, they got a certain part of the line, offensive line, and they got what they wanted. I don't even think the Steelers did a lot of chipping either, which is weird.
No, I mean, if they did, they weren't effective. Like Gainwell, I think, was supposed to chip Anderson on the strip sack. That was the Rankins touchdown, but just didn't come in contact with them. Yeah, I mean, this was the pregame, like, a first blush of like, what do the Steelers do on offense that's going to challenge the Texans like in any meaningful way? It's like they'll throw a couple deep shots trying to maybe get PI. That's basically it.
Maybe DK runs by a guy and he was open early. But the Texans pass rush, there was one play, it's probably middle of the second quarter, third quarter, where he ran just a straight go. It might have been on Lassiter. I think of single high safety. So Rodgers was going to throw the ball away from the safety, but because of the pass rush, he never gets a throw off. And then the one time he did get the ball downfield, you know, Kamari Lassiter may grab Calvin Austin, but they didn't make the call. So there it is. That's another break in the Texans' way in a game where they created all their own breaks. So, yeah, deep shots, get the ball out of your hand then, quick on to the running backs. Didn't do a lot of that.
Yeah, throwing it short to Calvin Austin, who gets tackled into the Earth's crust by Petrie.
It's not third and four. It's third and 11, and your O-line's not going to hold up. So you get the ball out quick. It doesn't matter. They're just rallying tackle and punish you.
At one point, Troy Aikman was like, well, the thing about the screen game is you need to have some sort of vertical threat so they're not just running at the
Texans played with no fear.
Yeah, you have to
even more than normal.
Hurt them.
Yeah, they weren't afraid of you because, and rightfully so, I don't think anyone on that side of the field believe they could get a pass off to someone vertically because of what that pass rush was doing to the Steelers offensive line. So 30-6 the final in a game that entered the fourth quarter 7-6. It was very, as far as the explosion of offense or defense, actually, kind of in the way the Titans game went, the first one where it's 6-0, you're not producing very much, and then something happens that breaks the will of the other team. In this case, it happened in the playoffs, and the Texans defense, which a lot of people had pointed to as the reason they could possibly make a Super Bowl, did nothing to dissuade people from thinking that. The only thing that might have is what the quarterback did, and we'll get to that when we come back. So, superlatives.
Good job, Houston Texans defense.
Christian Kirk.
Oh, yeah. Salute.
Best game as a Texan. Salute to him. Salute to the offensive line for what they did. Not only just protecting CJ, even though, you know, he's found a way to run himself into trouble, but what they did as far as running the football. Woody Marks, Nick Chubb, that combo had a great night as well.
Really, everyone played well except for one guy.
What is it like? Is it at 45 or 46 active guys every day?
I think I'll just say the emergency quarterback, Graham Mertz, I think he performed well.
He did his job, I imagine. Outside of Kaimi missing that extra point, the final kick, the final touchdown, I would probably say 45 out of the 46 guys played well. The only guy who didn't was the most important player on the field, except
Tommy Townsend didn't shank a punt.
Okay. So, but he's a holder. Is he the holder on extra points?
Yeah. So he gained some positive.
I mean, on field goal. So yeah. He was part
positive
of
legacy points.
He was a part of a 51-yard field goal, I think, make. So Tommy Townsend, shanked the punt, but still.
It's also like, okay, one shank punt.
Against the Steelers offense, whatever.
And two fumbles lost. And
so I'm going to go, if we're correct where it's 46 active guys, I'm going to go 45 of them, positives.
Yeah.
Only one, negative, and he happened to be the quarterback. So we'll do that when we come back. Eric, if you want to join us, I saw you on the phone, on hold. You can do that. 713-780-3776. Of course, calls have come in all morning. If you want to continue to talk about the game, we welcome that. It was historic. First road win, dominant defensive performance, and yet, do we feel better about their chances of winning a Super Bowl or worse? We'll talk about that when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
On socials at ESPN Houston, and don't forget to have our push notifications on.
You gotta change your push notifications. Look.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show, live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's Del Olalea.
I'm currently having issues with my chair, so we'll see how that goes this segment. But let's get to someone who can cause issues on the show. We sometimes adeptly dance around him. Sometimes he catches me in things where I know I shouldn't answer it seriously. We'll see if he gets me this time. What's up, Eric?
Hey, guys. Great game last night. Is the O-line better for the Steelers or for the Patriots? And right now, do you equate Aaron Rodgers and Drake May being the same QB in their careers right now? I mean, would you rather play an old Aaron Rodgers or a young Drake May? Drake May, excuse me. And, yeah, Caroline Collins is hurting right now from Fox 26 because she's a big Steelers fan. People are giving it to her online. So what do y'all think about that? And when is CJ Scott going to stop playing like Chiefs? I'll hang up and listen.
So I don't know Caroline Collins. I guess she might have been at the game. Don't know that she's a Steelers fan. So be it. As far as the online comments on her. I think what the Texans are going to face against the Patriots. Now, Will Campbell didn't have a great game against the Chargers. In fact, the Chargers got after Drake May. But how the Patriots want to play is the way you'd have to attack the Texans. They want to run the football right at you, power running game. They got Ramondre Stevenson. Then, of course, Trayvon Henderson, if he can hit a gap, he can take it 60, 70 yards for a touchdown. So as far as game plans are concerned, Josh McDaniels, just on how we watch the Patriots play all year, will have a better game plan against the Texans. They will try to do things to get Drake May in situations where it is manageable, third and four, being second and five, things like that, by running the football right at the Texans and trying to eliminate how effective those pass rushers can be. As far as the offensive lines are concerned, going by what the Steelers put out on the field last night, I just go off rip with the Patriots, except the Chargers kind of handled that Patriots O-line. It'll be about how the Patriots go about trying to run offense, and I think that benefits them against the Texans more than anything else. I don't think you'll see Drake May consistently battling third and 11s in shotgun, waiting for Will Anderson and Daniil Hunter to come after him. That's a recipe to lose, maybe not 30-6, but 21-10, like that. I think the Patriots will have a better game plan against the Texans. What else did he ask about? CJ playing like Cheeks? CJ played poorly. In fact, let's hear from CJ on one of the reasons his performance wasn't great. He had to answer questions about his inability to catch snaps. Here's CJ Stroud.
You know, we had some problems with the snaps, me catching them, you know, got to find a way just to catch them and then take care of the ball. You know, we knew on tape that they did a good job of, you know, punching at the ball or trying to, you know, get you to, while you're throwing, get your throwing arm. So, you know, I try to work on that throughout the week, but they made plays, and I think these games, the playoffs games, from my experience, like, they're going to make plays, we're going to make plays. It's all about, you know, moving forward and, you know, trying your best to, you know, flush it and keep going. So, you know, I thought, you know, when every time we had to bounce back, you know, we made more plays. So, you know, I'm proud of our guys for having a little bit of resilience in those moments. And, you know, to finish the game like that was really dope.
A dominant fourth quarter, but I don't know how you work on just catching the football. It feels like it should be second nature. Maybe he just took it to he assumed, and rightfully so, you're a quarterback, you catch snaps all the time. Maybe there was a lack of focus there. But his ball security when he actually did catch snap was a big of a problem as anything else. There's some plays you just have to eat and operate like you know who your defense is. Sometimes with who you have on the other side playing defense and how who they're playing on the other side offensively, take the sack. Sometimes kicking it back to the opponent and letting your defense wreak havoc is the best way a drive can end. And he has to do a better job understanding what this team is. Their defense first, second, third, and fourth. Play to that. Be better at ball security and understand that your defense on a night like last night isn't going to give up more than 10 points as long as you don't hand the Steelers great field position. And even on instances when you did, they still held them to field goals. We're talking about a team that if the quarterback doesn't show up, and I mean no quarterback, not just Davis Mills in his place.
Wildcat.
They won that game 14-3. If they just decide Nick Chubb and Woody Marks, you're going to be our quarterbacks for the day, and if you guys don't fumble, we're going to find a way to score points defensively. Now, of course, there's some context. And, you know, of course, the Steelers would play differently if the quarterback wasn't playing. I understand. But
it's the whole thing of, like, if the quarterback just spiked it every play.
If Tommy Townsend punted it on every first down,
Yeah. No, you just take knees. Run a little
to
clock.
To run some clock, yes.
Rest the defense
okay, I
a little
got
bit.
You. Yeah.
If you just take knees and punt it every time, they would win.
If you telegraph that the Steelers were running the ball in every play, and you can and you make sure Chubb and Woody Marks don't fumble, you got to throw Dari in there since you run the football all the
yeah.
time.
Yeah, and Woody Marks would have to go to the tent. That's all.
Yeah, because that's what happens. If you do that, you've got a great shot to win because that's how dominant they were last night. Instead, yeah. your quarterback's mistakes on your side of the field and in the Steelers' red zone on an early second-half drive allowed the Steelers to stay in it. So
yeah, the Steelers' second field goal drive was 8 plays for 4 yards.
It was after the CJ fumble, right?
Yeah. Their only other like they had, their first drive was 30. Their second drive was 58 yards, and then it's 5-0-4-23-6-2-19-5-21 end of game. It's like they didn't move the ball at all.
No, and it was still up in the air until the Sheldon Rankins scoop and score because
and it was up in the air in the sense that. When the Texans' offense was on the field,
it
was
were up they going to make a critical mistake to put the Steelers in a spot?
If the defense was on the field, it was not up in the air.
No. At 10-6, once they kicked that field goal, hell, at 7-6, I said, as long as the Texans don't screw up offensively, they're going to win this game. But at 10-6, the Steelers have the ball, and then Will Anderson comes around the corner and strips Rodgers on a 3rd and long, I think. And then, of course, Rankins runs it in. Game over. Will's broken. And at that point, you're hoping that the offense doesn't do anything once they get the ball back to give the Steelers any life. So I asked a question before we went to break. You win a game 30-6. You have one of the more dominant performances, well, certainly in your history, and maybe just all time when you throw in the 2 defensive touchdowns, the lack of points scored by the Steelers, and just their inability to move the football. Do we think this team is more likely to win a Super Bowl now that we've seen what the quarterback did, or less likely? We assume he's going to play better. It's hard to be as bad as he was as far as dropping snaps, fumbling the football, throwing picks.
I saw like 2 different stats where basically was, this is the worst game of CJ Stroud's career when it comes to turning the ball over, which is like really the big no-no. It's just don't turn over the ball, and this offense or this defense will do enough to keep you in the game, if not outright win it.
So he had 3 turnovers, but also
he had 4 fumbles,
yes. 2 loss. He fumbled it twice on one play because he dropped the snap and then he fumbled that he lost, I think. Of course, the flea flicker fumble.
Yes.
And the pick six, not pick six, but pick, which made it 3 turnovers. Ball, and even the ball, like, okay, one snap wasn't his fault. He wasn't looking. But even the ones he recovered, short-circuited drives.
Yes.
Right? They never recovered from one of those botched snaps and went on to score points, right? Or did they? I don't remember if they got over the hump one time and actually went on to score points.
Yeah.
So they beyond the fumbles,
they short-circuited the play. Yep. Like it seems like CJ Stroud was just constantly under like oh my god, what's happening? it's almost like he got jumped it like he just jumped into the play like as it was happening and like trying to catch his bearings instead of being like in control the way a quarterback normally is. It's like the second he had to move in the pocket, he was just like, oh my god, like it's like if I had to play quarterback where I'm just like looking around trying not to get murdered and can't hold on to the
football. Even on the plays he made, there felt like a nervous energy.
Yeah, there's just so much. Yeah, it was a very, that's the perfect way, like there's just a nervous energy to
unsettling to watch him in his feet and trying to maintain some composure in the pocket. He looked
The throws, he was missing a couple throws.
He missed high. Collins
won on the sideline before halftime.
Yeah, it was just a thing where he looked like a guy playing with the lack of composure, like a young quarterback. And he is a young quarterback in a sense. He's only in year 3, but we expected some growth there, and it looked like a guy almost making his first start in the playoffs in some ways. Thankfully, he's got a Super Bowl caliber defense.
That's why I'm kind of like, I not like completely like whatever, doesn't matter, but I am like, there's no way that it's like worse than this.
Yeah, I agree. My only issue is the Steelers defense isn't even good.
Yeah, that is a problem.
So what happens when you have a more buttoned up team like the Patriots? They're not super talented, but they're a better defense.
Yeah.
And also, they probably are going to have a better plan on offense. So even if it's like a 13-10 game,
yeah,
can CJ avoid different mistakes? I don't think he's just going to drop snaps in his next game. But can he avoid taking a drive-killing sack?
Mm-hmm. Throwing that interception in the red zone,
yeah,
was like especially
like egregious. Those are normal things that can happen in a playoff game. The dropping of snaps is nuts. I don't expect it to happen again. But the other things that he did, the nervousness, the missing throws, the pick, those are things you can see duplicating or replicating in another playoff scenario. Lazy J, I see you. Chris, I think that's Merritt. Hold on. We'll get to all of you when we come back. Lazy J apparently wants to change subjects altogether. So we'll get to that. Anyone else want to get in? 713-780-3776. We're talking Texans, of course. But as I always say, if you take it someplace else with the call, we can do that. Before we go to break, I want to talk about Monument Chevrolet. Monument Chevrolet, I met the guys again. It was Adam, Chris, and Jeff. I met them at a lunch, and we talked about the car buying business and what time they're on and what's going on over there. And we're going to talk about Car of the Week. But I did want to let you know that Jeff has put himself out there. If you want to talk to someone specifically at Monument Chevrolet, the name that you want to talk to is Jeff. He's one of their he's a decision maker, I'll say. You don't need the official title, but he's a decision maker, and he can get you right if you've got an issue. So mention the name Jeff, and you got an in at Monument Chevrolet. But let's talk about the cars. If you go to MonumentChevrolet.com, you see all the vehicles and all the deals. And one of the things they let us know about at that lunch is you're going to see deals at different places, but the deals at Monument Chevrolet are consistent. They're not going to be changed once you get out on the lot. They're in Pasadena off of Bellway 8 and 225. One of the things they pride themselves on is there's no fakeness. They're not false. You see a deal, you're not going to get it on the lot, and they're going to go, actually, it's this. That's not part of what they're about. They understand. Car buying, you got a lot of options, and sometimes the people you deal with can be a little less upfront than you like. They're not about that. They've been in business a long time because of that. They make sure once you step foot on the lot, it's going to be honesty, an upfront approach, and they're going to get you into a great car at a deal that you're going to like. So check them out. All they have to offer on the website, MonumentChevrolet.com, whether it's new, pre-owned, they have a wide variety for you. And then head on out there, Pasadena, off of Bellway 8 and 225. That's Monument Chevrolet. Chevrolet, together, let's drive.
ESPN 97.5.
It's the Del Olalea Show, live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's Del Olalea.
All right, let's get to these calls. Let's start with Chris, and then we'll get to Lazy J. What's up, Chris?
Yeah, hey, good morning, bro. Couple of things. I wanted to say, I felt like at times CJ was definitely trying to play hero ball last night. Felt like he was trying to make a name for himself, trying to get that money on that contract, and not playing into what the game was giving him, but trying to make something out of nothing. And I think you guys have been already saying that this morning, but I just want to throw that hero ball term in there. And as far as Nico Collins being out, I kind of felt like at times, and it's normal for most quarterbacks, they want to force that ball into their best friend's hands, which happens to also be the best wide receiver on the Texans team. So I feel like at times, you know, he's trying to push the ball into Nico to keep him happy. That's his buddy, you know. But after Nico went out, I mean, the offense was, you know, he was still able to get some good passes off and he was spreading the wealth out. So I just wanted to get your thoughts on that, Josh.
Okay. So just trying to make sure I heard. Appreciate the call, Chris. It was a little muffled. But as far as CJ and how he played, I don't really think this was about setting a path towards a giant deal. I think this is what we've seen from him kind of all year long, beyond, of course, the ridiculousness of him not being able to catch snaps, he has not played or looked confident as a quarterback all year. Maybe it's about the PTSD of getting hit as many times as he's gotten hit, the multiple concussions he suffered over the first 3 years of his career. But whether it be the nervous feet or missing throws, that's the thing that's happened all year. I'm not sure that has anything to do with a contract situation. I know he's extension eligible this offseason. He's been inconsistent. There have been moments, even in the game, as you pointed out, after Nico Collins got hurt. We didn't even talk about that yet. Nico Collins suffered a concussion, and the way that he had to be carted back to the locker room with the towel over his head and a short week, I don't imagine we'll see him on Sunday. And when you think about it,
get a friendly doctor in there.
Well, yeah, a Texas Longhorn doctor.
Yeah.
The NFL seems to take it more seriously than college. We've talked about this.
A doctor wearing a cowboy hat, I think we'll clear him.
Maybe he's not even a doctor at all. Just someone says, you're good to go. Go play.
I'm called Doc.
Yeah.
Call me Doc.
My nickname is Doc. But Nico Collins probably out against the Patriots. Considering it's his second concussion of the season, we talked about a Super Bowl run. We may not see him unless the Texans make a Super Bowl. If it goes the way it looked on the field, where he couldn't even walk back to the locker room. So, CJ made throws, which is some of the things that are confounding, because he did get the ball to Christian Kirk, made some nice throws, threw a ball in a big-time spot under pressure in that third quarter as the Steelers were trying to stop the drive that eventually put it away. Look, the Sheldon Rankin's play put it away, but the Texans put together a drive to bleed clock and then score a touchdown with Woody Marks that officially put the game away. He hit Christian Kirk on a little drag route with the blitz in his face. It was a nice pickup by one of the running backs. I don't remember if it was Chubb or Marks. And he hit him in stride, and Christian Kirk ran up the Steelers' sideline for a big first down. So there are moments when you go, oh, playing under pressure, making plays, that was great. And then there are other moments when he has the nervous feet, runs himself into trouble, and you throw in the lack of ball security last night in the pocket. It was all in all a performance that got the entire football watching public and Twitter talking about CJ Stroud being a guy. Not only he is not even a guy you win with or win because of, he is a guy you win in spite of. At least he was last night, which is not a reputation he had going in, but the playoffs tell, as the great Pat Riley once said, and they told on CJ last night. That can all change next Sunday or this upcoming Sunday, but at the moment, he looks like an anchor on what could be a big-time season for the Texans. One game can change that, but right now, that was ugly.
Yeah, which is weird because it's like not his first playoff game.
No, it's
not his first road playoff game.
It's his fifth playoff game.
Yeah, it's like just...
And he played his worst game.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like Darnold-esque. You know, I was thinking that. I was thinking, like, if Seattle or Houston had, like, a good quarterback, like, not even the top of the league, but just, like, you know, like a dependable, set-your-watch-to-him type quarterback.
Like Sam Darnold's numbers this year would call him a good quarterback, but you're talking about a belief in Sam Darnold.
Yeah, it's just
every, that he hasn't proven.
Yeah, every time they play a like big game for 2 years now, it's like he has the CJ Stroud game. Like he has the like, oh my god, this guy can't move the ball. Actually, CJ Stroud can move the ball.
I might take it back. Sam Darnold wound up throwing 14 picks this year. He was fine, but he was worse than he was last year.
Yeah, and Stroud's fine. You know, like Stroud was fine. You know, and when they lose, I mean, we talked about it with the Nick Haley, where, like, when the Texans lose in the playoffs, it's going to look ugly on offense. Like, there's not a way where they lose 38-35.
Yeah, no chance.
And it's not the offense's fault in the playoffs. So, when CJ Stroud or when Sam Darnold or when their teams lose, chances are it'll be because, oh, they cost them the season. They just cost their team the season.
Yeah, we look across the playoffs, and the Texans, very impressive. The world is lit on fire by what that defense did, but we know because of what happened in their final game, the Seahawks wound up being the best team points wise.
Yeah.
In the NFL, and if, then you go into DVOA, which is a more in depth way to analyze a unit. They were the best defense in DVOA wise as well. They just don't have these two elite pass rushers that get people excited. And for whatever reason, the way the Seahawks play defense doesn't excite everyone the way the Texans play defense.
I think because they're more of a, like, they scheme it up.
Yeah, as opposed to just hunt, like Will Anderson and Daniil Hunter.
The Texans are very, it's almost like a college defense where you're just like, oh, yeah, they just have way better players on defense than we do.
Like what? The Reuben Bain Mesidor thing in Miami. Yeah. Where we're just going to rush the pass and get after you. We're going to be very simple, but our pass rushers allow us to be that.
Yeah. And then it's like, what if they also had the best secondary in college football?
Throw in, you have an elite all pro, and then you have another guy who's coming up strong on his tail as far as another. Like, you have two elite pass rushers, maybe the best pass rushers in the game. It's funny, the Broncos, like, outpaced everyone by 19 sacks. 68 of them, but we're still looking at the Texans as the best pass rushing unit in football. And then you have two elite corners as well, and a safety playing at an all-pro level, or nickel, whatever you want to call Jalen Petrie.
Mm-hmm. And then your safety returner pick six.
Yeah, and you have a ball hawk at the other safety spot. At all the glamour positions, the Texans have stars.
Yeah, and again, they're like the self-evident, like, no, you just kind of watch them, and you're like, you know, like, there's several points.
Yeah, like Mike McDonald is getting a lot of credit for how the Steelers play defense.
Yeah.
Now, of course, D'Amico Ryans, because of his defensive background, people are going to mention that. But Matt Burke, even though maybe some of that is starting to build because he's now the official play caller.
They showed him a couple times on ESPN.
But still, Frank Ross gets more airtime than Matt Burke.
Well,
I was thinking about that. That's what I'm saying. On the Sheldon Rankins, we're getting into our bag. On the Sheldon Rankins fumble return, I was like, you know what? Why is Frank Ross always in the picture? He was like trying to hug D'Amico. D'Amico was barely paying attention to him.
Crystal ball mode. Don't hug me.
Yeah, Kevin Beer. Yeah, the Miami assistant who actually is one of the more underrated Miami players in the past. Chris Ball's like, whoa, whoa. D'Amico didn't give that to Frank Ross. He just didn't really acknowledge him. But Frank Ross always gets airtime. Always has a camera on him. I don't know why that is. He just gets a good edit. Someone loves to put the camera on Frank Ross. Meanwhile, Matt Burke. But they don't have to put the camera on him. I know what you're saying. Maybe Frank Ross is mugging it up and getting on camera.
Stop running onto the field.
But even on plays where he's like maybe 8 to 10 yards away from D'Amico on the sideline, the camera will find Frank Ross.
Yeah, he's emotive. I will say that.
Yeah, they love the emotion. Matt Burke may be a little more calm.
Yeah.
But even still, his unit is playing well. But he is not given the defensive genius tag that McDonald is getting because you have Daniil Hunter. Yeah. Future Hall of Famer, and Will Anderson, future DPOY at some point.
And it's always hard when you're the DC for a defensive-minded coach.
That's true.
Because, like, it's unlike the offensive side of the thing, where the offense, it's like, oh, let's get a piece of the Kyle Shanahan system, so let's hire Bobby Slowick. You know, like, let's get a piece of the McVay stuff, so let's hire someone off his offensive staff. You don't really get the flip side on that for defense, where it's like, hey, we need a little piece of the Chiefs defense with Spagnuolo. Let's hire their linebackers coach. Like, that really just does not happen.
Certainly to a lesser frequency than it does on offense.
I mean, D'Amico Ryans, I guess he was the DC for a year in San Francisco. Also, Texans legend, so that helps.
Certainly helped, and it's worked out to a great degree. Let's get to Lazy J before we go to break. He wants to talk about a topic that takes us away from the Texans. Okay, you want to talk soccer. What's up?
Woo, soccer matters. Longest wait time.
Yeah, poor you.
Sports history.
Yeah.
Goodness gracious.
Everyone feels bad for you.
Man, hey, your intern, black girl, made sound pretty good, man. What's up?
What? What did you just say?
I said your black intern, she sound pretty good. What's up?
What do you mean, what's up? What are you talking about?
Hey, I ain't had a black girl since 05. So what's up? But anyways, man.
Go ahead.
Yeah, that's not true. Once you go black, you never go back. That's a damn
go
lie.
On.
Anyways, I wanted to call in yesterday. I want to get your thoughts on Xabi Alonso quitting over the weekend Super Cup. I'm kind of glad he's gone. I don't know, man. He was doing some things they weren't listening. I don't think they really liked him. To me, he seemed to kind of, a little bit racist, but maybe that's just me, my thoughts. But I don't really think he liked Vinny. He didn't like Rodrigo. He didn't like Hendrix. He didn't like Mape. He said Mape had too much. He had the LeBron, I guess, too much factor in the locker room. I just want to get your thoughts on that, man. Who you think's up, the next head coach for us? And just what's your thoughts on that game, man? I think they had it. I think if he wasn't really hurt, I think he would have came in a little bit earlier in that game. It's crazy how they took off Vinny like that. I think Vinny was having the game of his life. I mean, he hasn't scored in a long time, but man, he was just so fast on the pitch yesterday. I mean, on Sunday, I was surprised they took him off, man. And do you think that maybe because there was a lot of players playing out of like Tchouaméndi, they got him as a center back, like playing defense? Like, what are we doing? Like, Valverde in the wrong spot? It's like,
all right, thank you. That's enough. Put him on hold. His inability to read the room is astounding.
Listing every player.
Yeah, you're gonna call in on a very you're narrow casting on this topic. You want to talk about Real Madrid's shakeup where Xavi Alonso is no longer the head coach, and then you start to list all these Real players that a lot of people don't even know. Like, yeah,
they're Sergio Ramos,
giant, yes, from 10 years ago. Sure, yeah. What's up, Pepe up to? Come on. Look, I understand I set a standard where you want to talk about other things beyond the Texans, but can we at least keep it continental?
I think he was his call was longer than he was on hold.
It felt like it for the rest of us. Yeah, Xavi Alonso, no longer the coach. He used to coach at Leverkusen, had a great success there. I don't know if he has a problem with Brazilian players. You listed a couple of them. I can't speak to that. But I will give you this, and then we're going to go to break. I'm not breaking down the game against Barcelona. Thierry Henry, legend of France, said this about the Real job. He's been a manager. He's a great player, played at big clubs. Some places you can be a coach where you can put in your style of play, how you want the players to react. Other places, you got to be simply a manager because you got superstars everywhere. You got to manage personalities and almost let them be them. Let their play style dictate how you set up your tactics. Xavi Alonso was at Leverkusen, a place that didn't know the type of success. They're a fine club, but didn't know the type of success he brought to them. Then he goes to Real, and they're the champions of Europe many times over with superstars. Perhaps the way you want to coach a team and put your stamp on it can't be done at Real because all those stars are the stars of stars. And I'm done. That's all you get out of me because I'm not breaking down your game against Barcelona over the weekend. What was the Spanish Cup or something? I don't even know. Thank you for the call. And actually, I'm taking my thank you back. We'll get to Sean and Eric when we come back. If you want to talk Texans or seeding like Eric does, you're more than welcome. If you want to talk about Manchester United, maybe save it for tomorrow. Willie P. We'll be back.
ESPN 97.5.